McGraw-Hill Ascent Audio presents The Digital Selling Handbook. Grow your sales by engaging, prospecting, and converting customers the way they buy today. By Bill Stinnett. Narrated by Bill Stinnett. Publisher's note: in this audio edition, you'll hear references to figures present in the print and ebook formats of the book. For Terry, Ashley, Ryan, Hannah, and David. Introduction. It's been almost 18 years since I had the privilege of publishing my first book, Think Like Your Customer, McGraw-Hill 2005. It was truly the fulfillment of a lifelong dream. I didn't know it at the time, but that experience would change my life forever. That book was eventually translated into 9 languages, and as I've traveled the world speaking and training for nearly 2 decades, I've been constantly amazed by how many people say they've benefited from reading it. 2 years later, I published Selling Results, McGraw-Hill 2007, which expanded on the first book and provided an extensive set of sales tools for applying many of those original ideas. It became the foundation of our Sales Excellence Core methodology, which has been adopted by organizations and individuals in over 40 countries. For an average kid from a tiny town in the mountains of Oregon, this whole journey has felt a bit surreal. Of course, I always hoped all of this effort would produce some return on time invested. But the personal satisfaction of seeing so many people apply these ideas to sell more, advance their careers, start businesses, and change their lives has been utterly overwhelming. I fully expected I would keep on publishing a new book every couple of years, but then something extraordinary happened. I got married. I've often joked around by saying, number of books published before being married with kids, 2. Number of books published since being married with kids, 0. But I wouldn't change it for the world. I feel blessed beyond imagination to be married to my best friend, Terry. She's truly the love of my life, and we have the privilege of being parents to 4 wonderful kids. This time has been the most rewarding and satisfying period of my life. But now, after all these years, it's time to publish again. I'm like a rock band that finally got around to releasing their 3rd album. Yay! In this brief introduction, I want to answer 4 important questions that you might be asking. 1. Why do we need another book on sales? 2. Who is this book written for? 3. What is covered in this book? 4. What will this book do for me? Let's take a look at these questions one at a time. Why do we need another book on sales? Over the last 80 years or so, literally thousands of books have been written on sales and marketing. Why do we need another one? It's very simple. What the most effective salespeople and business owners are doing today to attract, prospect, convert, and close new sales opportunities has changed pretty substantially over the last few years. Oh, you can still use some of the same tactics you were using in 2019 to find and close some business today. You can even automate many of the sales motions you used to do by hand so you can dramatically scale the number of people you approach. But I'm just not comfortable with the only strategy for selling in today's market being simply swing harder. Seismic changes in the socio-political climate, the business landscape, as well as the rapid proliferation of communication technology have dramatically changed the way our customers explore solutions to their problems and work through a buying process. This means we really have no choice but to change the way we engage with them, or we will be summarily left in the dust. Everything I write and create is based on personal firsthand experience, learning and applying new ideas and new technologies on a daily and weekly basis. I am as involved in day-to-day selling as I was when I started my first direct sales job at age 22. I choose to be. How can I have any credibility helping other salespeople and business owners create and close new business in today's marketplace if I'm not doing it myself? What I'm doing to forge new relationships and lead prospects through their discovery process today is dramatically different than what I was doing just a few years ago. I've read more, studied more, and experimented more in the last 3 years than I ever have in my life. In fact, I'd say about half of what's in this book I didn't even know 36 months ago. I'm going to share as much as I can of what I've learned about selling in today's digital-first world so you can benefit from it too. Who is this book written for? Before they publish anything, any good writer should think about exactly who their audience is going to be. They need to be able to answer this question: who's going to read this, and what will they be able to get out of it? With that in mind, my target audience for this book is those people who fill a specific function with any or all of the following objectives: influencing customer perception and persuading customers to draw new conclusions and literally think differently; communicating with customers, either verbally or in writing, via any given communication medium before, during, or after the sale; creating sales opportunities by helping customers conclude that they need help; demonstrating and presenting products and services as solutions to specific challenges that customers face; helping customers work their way through their own buying process, from the earliest recognition of a need, or even before, all the way through closure and beyond; maintaining relationships with customers who bought, and even prospects who didn't, until the next opportunity to serve them comes along; leading or employing a team, doing any of the above. With that in mind, the roles for which this book is perfectly suited include CEOs, presidents, CROs, and VPs of sales; marketing executives; sales directors and managers; account executives, AEs; sales development reps, SDRs; business development reps, BDRs; account managers, AMs; channel sales managers, customer success managers; solutions architects and product specialists; pre-sales engineers and post-sales consultants; entrepreneurs and solopreneurs; business owners and managers; sole proprietors; marketing professionals; marketing consultants; advertising agencies and copywriters; independent sales representatives; distributors, dealers, agents, and resellers; recruiters and staffing professionals; consultants and consulting partners. I also hope to support and even inspire those in the role I like to call the sales entrepreneur. These people usually come in one of two flavors. The first is made up of sales professionals working within a company who are willing to run their defined market or sales territory as if it were their own business. The term intrapreneur has become popular to describe a role where personal ownership of plans, strategies, and outcomes is encouraged. I'll be talking much more about this throughout this book, but I believe that truly standing out in a world full of so much digital noise requires an individual to be willing to step up and build a personal brand as the go-to resource for their target customers. Sales professionals who approach their role like they're the CEO of their own company act and sound entirely differently than a typical sales rep. The second flavor of sales entrepreneur is the rapidly growing ranks of the independent sales contractor. In recent years, we've witnessed the phenomenon of record numbers of corporate professionals resigning their positions to start their own company, just as many have started their own part-time business on top of working their day job. Last year alone, the number of new business applications filed in the United States was over 5.4 million, up over 1 million applicants from the previous year. Futurists are now predicting that many more corporations will be moving toward a model where their sales teams will be comprised primarily of self-employed subcontractors as opposed to direct common law employees. We actually have two different but similar models for this already. One is the manufacturer's rep, which has been extremely popular for decades. This is especially common in industries like apparel, groceries, and hardware, where manufacturers engage a third-party representative to promote their products to regional distributors and local retailers, for example. The other model, which is incredibly pervasive in the technology space, is one where solution providers offer their products and services through value-added resellers, VARs, dealers, agents, distributors, or the more generic term, channel partners. Some of the most successful technology companies in the world have built their business models exclusively using the channel model. And Forrester Research recently released findings showing that a whopping 75% of all sales today flow through some form of distribution channel. The evolution toward what is being called the gig economy, where individuals are contracted to perform specific tasks or complete defined projects, is becoming commonplace and will likely become more so within the arena of sales and marketing in the coming years. This model makes sense for self-employed sellers and marketers who want more control over where they work, when they work, work-life balance, etc. And it makes sense for many companies that want to reduce the risk and the expense of hiring people directly, as well as the liability and financial obligation of long-term employment. It's a win-win. Whether you're a corporate employee, an entrepreneur selling solutions that your own company produces, or you are representing the goods and services of others, this book has been written with you in mind. I've endeavored to make this relevant to sales pros and business owners alike by combining my own background in corporate sales, my experience as a small business owner, and my knowledge from over 20 years working with a client base of companies ranging from one salesperson to thousands. What is covered in this book? The scope of this work encompasses the best practices of selling digitally from the very earliest stages of a sales opportunity, through closure, and far beyond. It covers how we can use technology and digital assets to build and nurture what I like to call e-relationships with our past, present, and future clients. I specifically chose not to go deep into an exposé of sales automation and enablement technologies for two major reasons. First of all, that's not my primary area of expertise. There are plenty of authors and experts who specialize in evaluating and recommending sales technology platforms. My work has always been more in the area of understanding how customers think and teaching sellers how to influence their customers' thinking and behavior throughout the overall buying process. The second reason I won't spend a lot of time on the composition of your sales tech stack, as it is frequently called, is that by the time this manuscript becomes available in bookstores or online, the technology and the players providing it will probably have changed substantially. The focus of this book is more on the substance of how you sell using technology, not the technology itself. Here's just a tiny glimpse into what each chapter is about. Chapter 1, Selling the Way Customers Buy Today. This first chapter is designed to lay out the foundation of the topic of digital selling and why embracing it is so vitally urgent today. It also serves as a bit of an executive summary for the entire book. If you can only make time to carefully listen to the first chapter, you'll walk away with a ton of new ideas that will cause you to re-examine how you sell in today's digital-first environment. Chapter 2, Engaging Customers Early in Their Digital Buying Process. This covers how to connect and build relationships with prospective buyers long before a sales opportunity even exists, and ideally, before they even know they need to consider buying something. We'd ultimately like to be the company that is helping individuals and organizations conclude that they need our help in the first place, and in doing so, become the benchmark to which all other would-be providers are compared. Chapter 3, Mastering Digital Selling and Content Development. The third chapter is about writing and creating sales content. If you're familiar with the term content marketing, you know the power of engaging prospective buyers by educating and informing them, as opposed to just advertising to them. Selling with content is a way to help customers reach specific conclusions that are part of their overall buying and decision-making processes. We use content to do the same selling we would do if we were meeting with them in person. I assure you, this approach is a total game changer. Chapter 4, Designing Your Digital Selling Engine. Here's where we dig deep into the various platforms and tools you can employ as part of your overall digital selling strategy. We'll look at the various kinds of technologies you can use to attract, connect with, converse with, and communicate digitally with customers, including several of the most popular platforms available at the time of this writing. Chapter 5, Building E-Relationships Throughout the Digital Buying Journey. This chapter contains as many strategies, tactics, tips, and techniques as I could pack into it. We'll talk about how to lead prospective clients from being a total stranger to a social connection, to having a live conversation. Then we'll talk about how to convert them to happy repeat customers and even market ambassadors, helping you get the word out to other people who can potentially use your help. Chapter 6, Creating a Magnetic Personal Brand. This is my favorite chapter. In today's digital marketplace, it's not easy to stand out among so many other voices vying for your customers' attention. The key is to differentiate yourself by letting your customers get to know who you are as you earn trust, credibility, and preference for doing business with you. If you start to lose momentum as you listen, make sure you get to Chapter 6 before you run out of gas. You don't want to miss it. Chapter 7, Sales Prospecting in a Digital World. For those who are responsible for outbound prospecting, I've laced every chapter in this book with highly actionable ideas and advice for you. But Chapter 7 is where we go deep into the strategy of targeted prospecting with ideas about how to approach senior executives and how to create a 30-day prospecting plan. There's even a section on the psychology of overcoming what's keeping you from doing the prospecting you already know you need to be doing. Chapter 8. Managing and Closing Deals Digitally. Digital selling is often thought of as technology-powered prospecting and using social media for lead generation. In this final chapter, we'll explore how to use digital assets and the latest communication platforms to move opportunities forward through all stages of the customer's buying process, even when you don't have the opportunity to talk to all the key stakeholders in person, on video, or via telephone. What will this book do for me? The purpose of this book is to intentionally change the way you think about the profession of selling and how you communicate with your prospective clients in today's digital world. We're going to explore a variety of ways to leverage digital communication channels throughout the entire marketing and sales process. You'll learn how to find and create more new sales opportunities using the latest in digital selling technologies, influence perception about the value you can deliver for prospective buyers in your market to generate demand for what you offer, build relationships and rapport with prospective clients even before they know they need anything, align and position your products and services in the mind of your customers as the ideal solution to help them achieve the goals they already want to achieve, write better emails, social posts, articles, and other digital assets that can be used to attract prospective clients and the substance of your prospecting outreach. Leverage the latest in social and other digital technologies using a variety of media to reach and develop connections with an unlimited number of potential customers. Foster relationships with prospective buyers who are ready to buy today, as well as earn trust with those who may be prospects in the future. Establish yourself as a resource for information and answers that draws prospective clients to you when they need your knowledge and expertise. Put together a strategy for reaching out to targeted prospective clients that is designed to help you stand out from the crowd and get you noticed. Improve your average win rate and close more of the sales opportunities that you choose to invest your time in. Before we step into the first chapter, I want to congratulate you for taking this initiative. At a time when some companies are cutting back on investing in career development for their sales teams, I applaud you for making the time to invest in yourself. If you're a business owner, you already know that you have to make yourself better if you want to achieve better results. And if you're leading a sales organization, this is an opportunity to capture a vision of what's possible for your team at the next level. What's in this book represents a departure from many of the tired, outmoded sales and marketing practices of yesteryear. I'm on a mission to eradicate bad selling that is simply being automated and executed at scale. You're about to be challenged to completely rethink how you sell using digital media for communicating with your customers. Let's go. Chapter 1. Selling the Way Customers Buy Today. As a guy who's been around sales and entrepreneurship for a while, I can confidently say that the foundational truths of selling have never changed, and they never will. At its root, business involves a buyer who needs or wants something and is willing to trade either money or something else of value to a seller who can provide it. Marketing and sales are simply what the selling party does to try to find or attract a prospective buyer and then facilitate the transaction. This simple definition applies far beyond what most would consider traditional sales and marketing. It describes just about anyone who promotes, endorses, or recommends anything to anybody. In today's world, the vast majority of that promoting, recommending, and selling happens digitally. Whether you're a sales or marketing professional in a large corporation, or an entrepreneur running your own company, or even a volunteer seeking support and donations for a nonprofit organization, you're selling, whether you charge money for it or not. Selling and persuasion are natural and vital components of how we function as a society. As Thomas Watson, longtime CEO and chairman of IBM, put it, "Nothing happens until somebody sells something." Throughout this book, I'll use terms like seller and buyer, salesperson and customer, or supplier and channel partner, but what I'll be describing is the relationship between two people or entities on either end of an exchange. One of them promotes and delivers a product or service, the other consumes or resells that product or service, which could actually be a subscription, a membership, or just the adoption of some idea or opinion. Unfortunately, a myriad of research studies, as well as the personal experiences of anybody selling pretty much anything in the modern world, reveal that today's would-be customers are becoming increasingly sales-averse. That's entirely understandable. Every one of us is being sold to all day long, every day on billboards, TV, radio, podcast, Facebook, YouTube, and even at every gas pump. If you stand still for even a few seconds, somebody will try to pitch you on something. As selling and promotion have become more automated and mechanical, prospective buyers have become more closed and guarded. People are mastering the art of avoiding advertisements, screening phone calls, and ignoring unsolicited correspondence. They're more and more resistant to engaging in a live sales conversation that they themselves did not initiate. That means those of us who make a living promoting a product, a service, a skill, or an idea will have to adapt to survive. The way customers buy today. In years past, salespeople had far more latitude and opportunity to connect and meet with their customers face-to-face. Meetings at the client's office, trade shows, industry events, meeting up for coffee, business lunches, networking groups, tickets to sporting events. For decades, these were the norm. More recently, salespeople have seen a sharp decline in the number of opportunities to spend quality time with prospective clients for a variety of reasons. Over the last decade or more, many companies have begun adopting policies that don't allow their employees to accept free meals, trips, or entertainment of any kind to avoid any appearance of impropriety. Over the past few years, community health guidelines put severe restrictions in place that left the majority of people in many industries working from home. As a result, the business world had no choice but to adopt a variety of virtual communication tools and collaboration platforms. This obviously produced a massive shift in the way business people interact with each other and with their customers. One could argue that those restrictions simply accelerated the natural adoption of live video and other virtual collaboration tools that businesses would have eventually embraced anyway. But the long-term effects of that experience have left a huge percentage of people far less willing to meet with a salesperson face-to-face, and interestingly enough, even less likely to have a conversation via live video or telephone. That is, unless they've already determined that they might need some help that the salesperson's company can provide. The majority of today's buyers show a strong preference for digital interactions, whether to avoid health risk, reduce the use of fossil fuels, save time, or simply to not have to change out of their pajamas. With less and less opportunity for personal interactions, we have to reimagine how we get to know our customers and how we enable our customers to get to know us. According to the latest research from Gartner, only 17% of the time a B2B buyer invests in a buying process is spent engaging with potential suppliers. Another 27% of their time consists of doing online research, 22% meeting with their internal buying group, and 18% doing independent research offline. The balance includes other tasks like obtaining approvals and purchasing. Now, if that buying group happens to be talking with and vetting three different would-be suppliers, that means each vendor could get as little as 5 or 6% of the customer's time and attention. The overwhelming majority of the time our customers invest in their buying process is not spent talking to us. Rather, it involves collecting, analyzing, and discussing information and ideas from who knows what sources while we're not even around. This means, if we're not willing to leverage digital media to continue selling in between the few meetings we're able to get with our customers, we lose the ability to influence perception and help them draw favorable conclusions during 94% of their buying process. If that doesn't get your attention, I'm not sure what will. This kind of modern-day reality makes this topic of digital selling worth taking seriously, wouldn't you say? This book will be an exploration of how to use a variety of digital communication platforms to attract prospective customers and create new sales opportunities. But just as importantly, we'll investigate how to leverage digital assets to continue to influence and persuade customers throughout all stages of their buying process, whether we're granted the opportunity to meet with them or not. The human side of digital selling. Here's an interesting bit of irony. The vast majority of buyers, as many as 92% in one study, express a preference for virtual interactions with sellers. However, the same buyers report an interest in doing business with real human beings they can relate to. Your prospective clients need and want real answers to real problems provided by a real person. But they want it on their terms and on their timetable. In essence, they'd like to feel what it's like to be your customer before they commit to anything, and ideally, without even talking to you. Now more than ever, People are attracted to individuals and brands that share their values. Modern buyers crave authentic human interactions with sellers who are genuine. They're inundated with communication and advertising impressions, but at the same time starved for actual care and attention. It seems the more virtual our world becomes, the more we appreciate what's real. What makes sellers attractive is their willingness to provide knowledge and information that helps would-be customers make decisions and draw conclusions on their own. Buyers seem to look at every potential supplier and ask more than just, "Can you sell me fill in the blank?" They want to know, "How can you actually help me decide what I need to buy? And what else can you provide beyond just the commercial transaction that will help me?" It seems guidance and advice have become just as powerful differentiators as features and pricing. All the anecdotal and empirical evidence shows that serving is the new selling. Today's buyers are looking for more than just a source to buy from. They want a resource to learn from. From my seat, as a sales and marketing consultant and trainer to some of the world's most well-known organizations, the biggest mistake I see companies make is throwing their resources behind digital marketing and social channels to deliver the same old, worn-out, seller-centric message that their customers have been numb to for years. Here's an idea worth remembering. Your customers have not only changed where they buy, they've changed how they buy. Don't approach today's communication channels with yesterday's sales and marketing strategy. If effective marketing today was simply a matter of switching advertising channels, from print ads and magazines to LinkedIn ads, for example, that would be easy. If outside salespeople could suddenly fill their pipelines to overflowing just by embedding a short video into their emails, or maybe sending a video via direct message through LinkedIn, there would be no need for a lot of what's in this book. Granted, changing the medium or the delivery mechanism of your outreach can measurably improve results. We'll be talking extensively about that as we go. But I honestly believe the big opportunity today lies in radically changing what is written or said within your sales and marketing message, not just how you deliver it. The substance of what you communicate digitally has the power to influence and persuade. It can also give your prospects a glimpse of who you are as a person when it's designed to do so. A big part of digital selling is empowering your customers to learn about you and how you can help them even before you have any personal interaction with them. We'll talk much more about this in the coming chapters. 8 truths about digital selling. As I see it, there are at least 8 truths that help distinguish digital selling from whatever we want to call the kind of selling we did before everything went digital. Let's briefly talk about each one of these truths to further define what digital selling is and what we need to do to embrace it. 1. Digital selling is for anybody who is promoting anything. Admittedly, not all marketing and promotion today is digital. Traditional media are still alive and well in many industries. They would be defined as channels that existed before the rise of the internet, which includes newspapers, magazines, billboards, radio, broadcast TV, and direct mail. But nearly every business in the modern world, with the exception of something like a roadside stand, is using one or more forms of digital media to attract or transact with their customers. This includes everything you see online: websites, search engines, digital advertising, social media, video streaming services, online discussion forums, and even Google Maps displaying a business profile. Digital buying goes far beyond just ordering books or shoes or groceries. The latest studies show that as much as 98% of all enterprise purchases, even capital expenditures and long-term contracts, start with online research, even if the transaction itself happens offline. Our customers aren't just using the internet for their upfront research. The Gartner Future of Sales 2025 report predicts that by 2025, 80% of sales interactions between buyers and sellers, even in the business-to-business space, will occur through digital channels. Here's another startling reality. The average person spends nearly 6 hours a day on their smartphone. That's over 90 full days of the year. If you factor in an average of 8 hours of sleep per night, we're spending over 37% of our waking moments, or every hour we're awake from January 1st through May 15th, on our phone. Heaven help us. In light of the way we live today, I think we can easily conclude, if your prospective customers can't find you or get to know more about you from their smartphone, you basically don't exist. Whether you're selling enterprise IT solutions in a corporate environment, running your own advertising agency.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?